In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a book that this reading always reminds me of. It's a children's book, and it was written by a famous writer of children's books, Margaret Wise Brown, and she wrote a book that probably you've heard of, Goodnight Moon. It's a very famous book. It's considered a classic in children's literature, but she also wrote another book, which has come up in sermons for me from time to time. And it's called Mr. Dog, the Dog Who Belonged to Himself. Recently, I looked up this book on the internet to see if there was anyone who had come to feel, as I do, that there's something a little odd about this book. And I did find one long-suffering father who has read this book to his little boy who loves the book many, many times. And he gave a review of the book. I don't think he shared these ideas with his son. But, like me, some of the things in the book bothered him. The dog has a name that he gave himself. And his name is Crispin's Crispin. Crispin who belongs to Crispin. And he meets a boy. And he tells the boy that he belongs to himself. And the boy says, I belong to myself too. The father is confused by this, and he asks, if the dog is Crispin's Crispin, then am I Tom's Tom? And if I'm Tom's Tom, who is Tom? This is a very strange book. None of us belongs to ourselves. It emphasizes a kind of every person belongs to himself kind of individualism that people would like to maintain in our society. And they use the things that they buy in order to persuade them that they are the owners of things, and therefore, as the owners of things, they are someone, someone special, someone in particular. But this isn't in harmony or in keeping with the Christian teaching. According to our Christian faith, all of us belong to God and to one another. And we can never really be free unless we realize this. None of us simply belongs to himself or to herself. Saint Nikolai Velimirovic gives this image at the beginning of his sermon on this reading. He imagines a flock of birds out in the pasture, and the birds, the members of the flock, fight with each other, and the owner of the pasture and of the birds, God looks on in amazement. Why do the birds, members of a flock, why do they fight amongst themselves in the pasture? His concern is both for the birds, the flock of birds, and the pasture. All of them belong to him. All of us belong to God. Not as his possession, but we belong to God because we are meant to be like God. We are meant to be free and reasonable beings, not fighting amongst ourselves to gain this little piece or that little piece because somebody else has it or it looks like somebody else has more. That's a sign that we're trying to each one be independent of all the others. And it's a ridiculous way to live. We are created to be free of all of that, like God. Bishop Nikolai says that there are two answers to the question, who do you belong to? That philosophers and people less than philosophers, just the average person, has come up with over the years. And one is that we belong to our passions. Our passions and desires are the real me. And we defend them. And we say that we have a right to our passions and our desires. Those are our possessions. And they express the real person that I am. And everything that I do, I put my passions and desires into it to put my mark on it and show this is who I am. That's one way. And the other way is to say that we belong to nature. We are made by nature. And we live for a while, as part of the natural world, and then we are broken up by nature in its course of change, and we die. So we belong to nature, or we belong to our passions, and they are our identity. The alternative is the Christian teaching. We belong to one another and to God. Ultimately, all of us belong to God. And God, Bishop Nicolai says, lends us the particular things that we use in our life in this world. He even lends us the abilities, the capacities that we have. He lends us the means to be able to use those capacities in the world. They are on loan to us. And he says, God gives these things to different people unequally. He lends more to some than he does to others. In order for us to clearly understand our freedom, the nature of our freedom as we live our lives, and the fact that all of us depend on one another. The rich man in the parable doesn't understand himself or his possessions in this way. The things that he has belong to him. They are important because they belong to him and not to someone else. And St. Nicolai says that it is for this reason, his contempt for Lazarus, for those like Lazarus who do not own possessions, his contempt for those who are not able to maintain their own health. This is why, when he dies, he does not go to the bosom of Abraham. He goes to hell. During his life, he was not concerned with heavenly things. He was concerned to reject the reality of the fact that we belong to one another as human beings. And ultimately, all of us belong to God. The contempt that he has for Lazarus rejects the belonging of one person to another. Lazarus suffering, calling out to the rich man to ease his pain, to give him a drink of water, is ignored by the rich man. Like Cain, when he is asked after his brother Abel, who is missing, who has died, his response is, "Am I my brother's keeper? Do I own my brother? Is my brother something that belongs to me that I should take care of it as I would take care of something that belongs to me?" A complete rejection of the understanding that all of us belong to one another, not as possession, but we belong to one another because we are one humanity that God has created, like the flock in God's field. Bishop Nicolai points out that the name of the rich man is never given in the parable, only the name of Lazarus. It is Lazarus' name that is kept in the book of life, not the rich man. The rich man had notoriety and fame in this life, well known as someone who was a man of property, a person of substance and importance in this world, in this life. That's what he was concerned about. And he judged and rejected Lazarus as a member of the human race along with himself on that basis. He judged Lazarus and he judges others from not a high place, but a place beneath the level of the dignity of our humanity when we are like God and do not judge. And so in the end, he is the one who is condemned. He is the one who is nameless and sent to a place where he is cut off from the rest because he cut himself off from the rest in this world. Bishop Nicolai says that Lazarus' body is the image of the soul of the rich man. They are mirror images of one another. And that the fine clothing and all of the riches and wealth all of the gold and jewels that the rich man has, they are the image of the soul of Lazarus. Lazarus is laying up treasure in heaven along with all of the others with whom he is one, a member of the brethren of Christ. Those that Christ says of, he who treats these with kindness is doing the same to me. That's because there is a oneness that God made between himself and us by becoming incarnate, by becoming one of us, by becoming a member of all mankind. The rich man cuts himself off from that. During the course of our lives, we either unite ourselves to Christ through others, or we cut ourselves off from Christ through others, as the rich man did, belonging to himself. Those things that we claim as our own, as our possessions, we exchange for our soul. A little piece of our soul is given away whenever we claim something as exclusively mine. That no one else has any claim to this, it belongs to me. My life belongs to me. And we cut off our soul from God. This is why God has unevenly distributed things amongst us as human beings, to give us the means to work out our salvation, to lay up treasures in heaven that we begin to live by even in this life. We shouldn't think that. It's only after the separation of the body and soul that we enjoy the treasures of heaven. We enjoy, the saints enjoy, the treasures of heaven already beginning in this world. If they are the things that matter to us more than anything else, they are the substance of our life, because the substance of our life is a spiritual substance. It doesn't just begin when we die. It begins when we die to ourselves, as the rich man needs to die. And when we die to ourselves and live by spiritual things, our life begins now and continues beyond the separation of body and soul, because that life is an eternal life, and the separation of body and soul cannot put it to death. So we choose the way we live, at one with one another, as those who belong to one another, as members of humankind that belongs to God, or cutting ourselves off from others, from our true humanity, from Christ, and from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.